Not all of us survived the storm. It was 1974. I'd quit my job teaching. It was my first year fishing chums in Lynn Canal. We began in early September and planned to fish well into October. I was fishing alone on a 30-foot Roberts that I'd had built in 1971. The fall chum run was strong, and the fleet of 200-plus boats had done quite well. The weather had been unusually rough with a strong southeast blowing up the canal incessantly. By the end of September, we'd lost 4 boats to the weather, usually caused by too many fish on board and a large swell engulfing the stern, the old wooden double enders not able to slough the water fast enough. We're sunk and we're lost. The end of the second week of October, I'd picked the net at 1 a.m. The seas were quiet at the time with a light southeast just enough to keep the boat hanging off the end of the net. I had a bite to eat and laid down to take a short nap. It was the end of the week. The fleet had worked hard under turbulent conditions, and we were tired. I awoke at 2:45 a.m., aware that the wind had changed to northerly. I got up to check the net and was surprised to see fresh snow covering the deck. As I picked 100-plus fish out of the net, the wind progressively got worse. I ducked in behind Sullivan Island and unloaded to the PFI tender. I'd had to wait in line, so by the time I'd finished, it was after 8 a.m. The wind was getting worse by the minute, snow falling hard. I ran down to the south end of Sullivan Island and anchored in the lee in as shallow water as I dared. There were already a dozen or so boats hunkered down. I didn't have an anchor winch. The northerly gusts were so strong, even in the lee of the island, the anchor drugged me into deep water. The radio was humming constantly. Several boats had already gone down. Boats were trying to buck the northerly that was now blowing in excess of 50 miles per hour. They were desperately trying to get to the protection of the cannery in the Chilcat Inlet, or fight their way up to Haines. One of the largest gillnetters fishing the inlet had had fish on deck and had rolled over outside Sullivan Island. The captain and the crew had been picked up by a nearby boat. I drug anchor 4 times. Without an anchor winch, I had to haul anchor, chain, and rope by hand. Pulling the boat against the wind, I was exhausted. The wind had increased. I couldn't buck my way north, so I decided to put my stabilizers down and head south to Juneau with the swells. Paul Garceau saw me heading out and called on the radio telling me not to leave as the prediction was for ever-increasing winds. 2 boats had gone down south and east of us at Point Sherman. I told Paul I had no choice but to run for it. He said I was out of my mind but wished me the best. I had to somehow make my way across Lynn Canal from the west side to the east side, attempting to get to Bridget Cove. I idled my way across, increasing and decreasing my speed as the giant swells pushed me along. My biggest fear was broaching, as a huge swell would hit me from behind, and I'd have to ride the crest into the trough ahead of me. I had my radar on, so in spite of the intense snowfall and lack of visibility, I could run a relatively straight course across Lynn Canal. The battle to keep the stubby fiberglass boat from rolling over or broaching was constant. Tried to get into my survival suit, but because of the extreme seas, snow, and wind, I was unable to do so. I'd looked at my tide book earlier on and knew the tide would begin to flood against the wind and swells about halfway between Point Sherman and Point St. Mary. All this time, my radio was on, and I listened as a total of 9 boats had gone down in the severe weather. It was reported that the winds were out of the north in excess of 90 miles per hour at Eldred Rock. I was about halfway across the canal when I heard a mayday from the 10th boat that was sinking just north of Point Sherman. Another boat was close by to pick up the survivors. I was in an impossible situation to turn into the wind to go to them. The tide turned and the swells grew, ever steeper and more violent as I approached Point St. Mary. At that time the weather cleared and I could see Jay Schultz ahead of me. The huge mountains along the mainland would go completely out of sight as the boat was swept into the trough. At one point Jay's stern was so far out of the water that I could see the rudder, propeller, and most of the bottom of his boat as the swells lifted him and hurled him into another trough. I was amazed that he was still afloat, as the violence of the following sea threatened to flip the vessel on its back as he slid down the front side of a 16-foot wave. He had no stabilizers. We traveled side by side for over an hour, doing everything in our power to keep the boats upright. At about 4:30 p.m., we found ourselves in dense snow once again. The radar showed us passing Berners Bay and heading into Bridget Cove. The seas began to subside as we approached a partial lee of the storm. Upon reaching Benjamin Island, things finally began to settle down. I called Jay on the radio. He was shaken up. The inside of the boat was in total disarray, but we were both breathing easier. At 7 p.m., we went through the back channel of Douglas Island and tied the boats up in Juneau. The entire trip down, we had listened to the constant battle of boats dragging anchor, trying to battle their way against the storm to fight their way north. We walked uptown for a warm, comfortable dinner, feeling ever so fortunate to have the boats tied to a dock and to be on solid ground. It was reported the next morning that a total of 11 boats had gone down on that terrible day. It was also confirmed that the fall storm that had roared in from the north had reported wind gusts in excess of 100 miles per hour in Lynn Canal. We were lucky to be alive.